Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Well, welcome everyone to another interesting and informative study. I hope you find it that way, at least, and that you are helped by the information while you do your own study. This is Rick Sterling. I founded this ministry a little over 30 years ago. And have I ever come a long way? Never thought I would be understanding the things that I understand, although I hoped for that. This is Spirit of Truth Ministry. And I'm sure that most of you know we have a website. Two websites, in fact, one that we haven't updated in quite some time, and one that has a lot of written information. And to find those, you can go to spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/STM. And a Facebook page, you go to Facebook. You can find that in the Spirit of Truth Ministry group page. We will open with prayer. Father, Mother, and Brother, hallowed be your name. We come to you with a soul that is open to your words of truth. We ask that your words of truth will cleanse us from all the lies, from all sin, and that you will give us a new birth. A birth into your kingdom. And we ask for strength to endure and for wisdom to know your will and to do it. Thank you for not leaving us alone, but for being there with us throughout our life to give us guidance and instruction, help and encouragement, insight into your word. Your word is our life. We love you. When I was thinking about what would be important to incorporate in our study today, there are so many things. Each part is very important and a part of the whole, W-H-O-L-E. that will lead us to the understanding that we need to lead us to eternal life. And so I thought that starting from the point of creation and what happened and why we are living in a world that is like it is now. For God to create this world and then it would turn out like this. Why did God create the world in the first place? Last time we did our study presentation, last Friday and Sabbath, I talked to you about a lawful process. We discussed God's intention, God's purpose, and God's plan. As you know, there are three members of the divine family: the Father, the Mother, and the Son. And they all work together in complete harmony. They're three individual beings, but their mind has nothing but the truth, the whole truth, and only the truth. They know what sin and wickedness is. And they know what lies are, because the lies are the opposite of everything that they know to be true in their mind. And they know the whole truth. But they have created everything, the universe and everything in it, this galaxy and everything in it, this solar system and everything in it, this earth and everything in it, on it, and above it. And when this universe was created, God knew what would take place on this one planet. He knew what Lucifer would do. Before he created anything, he knew what Lucifer would do. He knew Lucifer's plan from the beginning. And what was and is that plan? And what caused Lucifer to do what he did? To effect a coup against God's authority and against God himself. And from what we have seen throughout history, what can we learn by observing what he has done and what he is doing? Because in order to completely separate the people of this world and everything about this world, he needs to disconnect it from God. And he does that by reversing everything God has done to its exact opposite. So where there are males, they will become females. Where there are females, they will become males. Where there is creation, there is destruction. So in order to create something new, Lucifer needed to destroy everything on this earth that God created. But then he would have to destroy this whole earth. And that he could not do. How long ago did God create everything on this planet? Now, this planet, I believe, was created along with the rest of the universe. But what was on this planet was created at a later time. And when God created the nations, the diversity of the ethnic groups that we still see evident today on the sixth day of creation, the crowning act of his creation was to create males and females. And they were created in the various parts of the earth, the land masses, and they were the nations. The only information that we have about this is what has been unearthed. Or what has survived above the ground, such as Pumapunku, Nazca, Göbekli Tepe, the pyramids in Egypt, and Baalbek, to name a few. These are ancient sites that are at least 10,000 years old. Some really aren't able to be calculated in time to a certain date reliably. So this first creation is the one that Lucifer, the devil, Satan, deceived. He deceived the nations because he was their teacher. He and the other watchers or angels that God sent down here to teach the males and females what they needed to know to live here on the earth and thrive. I don't know when Satan decided to do what he did, I think that he had a plan all along. This is not something that he just decided to do on a whim. This was a process. And you don't challenge Almighty God on a whim. You need to have a plan, well thought out and put together. Because to effect a coup against God Almighty, you need to know what you're doing. Because you have to deceive a whole world of people and continue to deceive them generation after generation after generation. And so totally disconnect them from any memory or knowledge or evidence of a God other than the gods, small g, who have been feeding these people the information. Satan's plan was, as I said before, to completely disconnect this world from God's creation. Now, how he would ever manage to do this on a world that could not exist in another universe? That I don't know. That information is not available. God also had a plan. And that plan was carefully thought out. It was a plan that was how God would respond, although I use that word reservedly because God doesn't respond and God doesn't react. God has a plan to counteract, I guess, what the devil did. God had a plan to restore from the destruction that the devil would bring and would cause. And so at the right time, at the perfect time, God again created. This time the creation was not to populate the earth, it was to respond to what the devil had brought and what the devil was doing with the whole world. Every ethnic group, every nation had been deceived, but they didn't know it. They didn't know they were deceived. They really believed that this being who came down from the heavens along with these other beings in their spacecraft were their gods, were their creators. Because the people didn't know the truth. So to them, the truth was what these spiritual beings were feeding them. And that's why you see the ancient sites of worship in Asia, in Europe, in the Americas, and many other places. What God's plan needed in order for God to get the victory is a war, but not a conventional war like we think of it. A war to see who would accept the truth or who would hold on to the lies. Truth and lies. That's how this war is conducted. So how does the devil, that ancient serpent, Satan, what does he do to combat God, to conduct his combat against God? Well, he uses lies, but these are not just lies. They are carefully constructed fallacies. He knows what people desire, what they like, what they want, how their minds operate. He knows intricately. He knows better than any of us how the human mind operates. And he uses that. If you prefer certain things, he gives them to you. Whatever you want. Even those who believe in the God who created all things, Almighty God, that's fine with him, as long as you don't know the truth about him. Now, you might wonder, well, how can you know about him but not know the truth about him? Well, that's not knowing what he wants, who he is, or who they are, father, mother, and brother. And I say brother, father, mother, and brother, because that's who they are if you have been born from above. Almighty God is your father. The Holy Spirit is your mother. And the Son of God is your brother. In the second creation on this earth, God created a man. He made a body from the dust, and when that body was complete, he activated its properties, and the man became a living soul, a living being. And his purpose for that was not to try again. His purpose for that was the plan that he had to restore the world back to the truth. A world with the full knowledge of their true creator. He needed to have on earth a people who knew him, a holy people. A people who chose to obey him. And so when God had created the man, he planted a garden which was separate, walled off with a hedge. I don't know how it was because that's not described, but I do know there was some kind of enclosure around this garden. Because when the man and the woman were expelled from the garden, God says that he put them in the ground from which they came. So what did the man and the woman in the garden need to do in order to become holy? Now you might say, well, God doesn't create anything that isn't holy. God creates everything perfect. But when his perfect beings have the power to choose, like Lucifer. Lucifer chose to do what he did. We talked about this last time. Lucifer chose what to do, what he did. Was he holy when God created him? Yes. But he changed. He chose to be corrupt and to corrupt everything else that he could. The man and the woman were perfect when he created them. The man and then the woman that he took from out of the man. In fact, I see that as an explanation as to how there is the Holy Spirit and the Son of God. Why did the Messiah refer to his Father in prayer as Father? And we are told in Revelation 12 that there was a woman in the heavens and that she was in the pains of childbirth and she gave birth to a son, a flesh and blood being who was caught up to heaven and God's throne. It was her son, and he would also be the Son of God. God the Father, whose throne he sat down on. And then it says that he will rule all nations with a rod of iron. How will he rule all nations? Well, he would have to have a kingdom on earth. kingdom of holy people, a kingdom that had been born by the same process he had, the woman in the heavens, would give birth to his brothers and sisters. They would be a holy people, a people who had been sinful, but who had entered the process to be cleansed from all their sin and become holy and born from above by the Holy Spirit. They would be a holy nation, a kingdom of God. And that's how God would restore his authority over his creation. That is what the devil needed to prevent. At all cost, at any cost, he needed to prevent God from establishing a kingdom on this earth, because he knew that if God was ever able to do that, his days were numbered. When your days are numbered, that means you have a beginning and an ending point in time. You are not eternal. And the devil knew that if God were to ever be able to establish a kingdom here on earth, his days would be numbered, because God would start the countdown. Now, why would there need to be a countdown? Well, when God starts his kingdom, from everything that I see, from all the information that he has given, that once he took the kingdom away from Israel and offered it to any and all who would meet the requirements to enter, that when that first person, the one that the Son of God referred to as the Elijah, when his disciples asked him about why the scribes were telling them that he couldn't be the Messiah, because Elijah had not come first. And their teacher, the Messiah, told them, Peter, James, and John, that indeed Elijah is to come. He said that, and he put that in the future. Elijah is to come to see that everything is once more as it should be. Some translations say to restore all things, and I like that it's easier to understand the gist of that statement, restoration, which is what the other reading is saying, to see that everything is once more as it should be, is restoration. So he puts that in the future, and he implies by that kingdom starts with the Elijah, that Elijah type person begins the process. So the kingdom would start with one person. And then all those who have listened to that one person will, like him, enter the kingdom. Now that one person, of course, is listening to the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does is uses the law, the prophets, and the testimony of her son, the Son of God, her firstborn that is described in Revelation 12. You see, in Revelation 12, it says the dragon was enraged at the woman. Why was the dragon enraged at the woman? There's not much he could do to her. There's nothing he could do to her. He couldn't harm her. He couldn't destroy her. Believe me, if he could, he would do it. But she is the mother of the kingdom of God, and they, if they should ever figure that out and go through the process of development as a fetus and an embryo and an infant, start their process of development in the womb of their flesh and blood mother, a similar process develops the spiritual part of the person. And when they have an intellect that is full of truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, that is how she gives them birth into the kingdom. She does not give birth to lies. She gives birth to truth. And her children are the children of truth. Their process of development is called sanctification, which is cleansing of your soul. Cleansing it from all the lies that we have been taught from time our instruction started. This war is conducted in two ways. God gives the truth, makes the truth available to anyone and everyone. And the devil, well, he works in lies. And he conducts the war by making every attempt to keep people from learning the truth. And he does that by making his lies desirable. And he uses authorities, human authorities, to help him in his deception. Censorship. Main part of his thrust is censorship and obfuscation and destruction. Destruction in destroying history, destroying facts and evidence, and replacing it with fabrication, lies. It never happened, but he makes sure that no one knows the truth of the past, because the past is evidence, and he does not want any evidence of God whatsoever. So he controls the leaders in government. He controls the spiritual leaders in religion and spirituality. He controls everyone who has any type of knowledge that can gather a following. And he clothes his lies with the trappings of truth. And he makes his lies desirable. In other words, who wouldn't want to be saved by faith through an operation of grace, where love is spoken of freely? Love is used to explain away any need to know the truth, because the truth is not important when you're saved by faith. I've had pastors tell me, no one can really know what the truth is. Truth has been so watered down and made basically impossible to figure out, because, well, who knows what the truth is? There's so many different ideas and teachings and so on, that you can't really know what the truth is. So just live the best you can, be the best person you can, and when our Messiah returns and we all go to heaven, then he'll tell us what the truth really is. But you see, you have to know God's plan of restoration to know that that will never happen that way. It can't happen that way. He has to have a kingdom on earth. And he's not having a kingdom of believers who believe by faith. He has a kingdom of people who know him, not know of him, not know him by faith, but know him by fact and truth and trust. You see, with trust, you know this fact, that because the truth is critical to God winning this war against the devil and everyone associated with him, he has to have a kingdom on earth. And if the people of earth are holding to a lie and basically saying that, I've had more than one pastor tell me that there's no way to know exactly what the exact truth is that God needs. We just need to be good, loving people and have faith. And then when God comes and takes us to heaven, then he'll tell us what the real truth is. That is how the devil keeps the truth away from everybody. If they don't believe that the truth is available and discoverable and knowable, they don't try to find it. All they do is say the importance is just to live a good life, help the poor and needy, clothe the naked, visit the prisoner in prison, love one another, and love God. That's it. Well, what does God say about love? Loving him. If you love me, keep my commandments. When you keep my commandments, you demonstrate that you love me. In other words, keeping his commandments is how you love God. Love does not cast out obedience. God loved the man and the woman in the garden. In fact, to him, they were his family. The man was his son, flesh and blood son. The woman was his daughter. And they loved them, and the man and the woman loved their creator. But not fully. You see, apparently they didn't know their creator. They knew of their creator. They'd seen him face to face. And their creator had said, don't ever eat from that tree. The tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of learning the knowledge of good and evil. Don't ever eat from that tree. Well, that's a law. A law from God. And what God was asking them and requiring them to do is to obey that law. There came a point in time where they had to make a decision. And that was when the serpent entered the garden. And engaged the woman in conversation concerning her creator. Now the man was with her. That's what it tells us in Genesis. Her husband was with her. He heard what the serpent said. The serpent was talking to the woman. He didn't talk to the man. It's interesting. But I don't know that it's significant. The woman knew what her creator had said. She knew that if they ever ate from that tree, that very day they would be put to death. She knew that. And if she truly loved her creator and trusted her creator, and only if she only knew her creator, not knew of him. But she had a choice, so did the man. Obey God and live. Eternally, you have access to the tree of life. Disobey God, and he will take your life from you, the life that he gave you. He will take it from you, and you will be dead. But the serpent's words were smooth. Oh, if you eat from that tree, it will give you secret wisdom that God knows, but you don't know. And if you just disobey God by eating that fruit, your eyes will be open. The eyes of your mind, the eyes of your intellect. And you will have all this secret knowledge that God is withholding from you. You will have the knowledge of good and evil. Now, who wants to know evil? What is so desirable about knowing evil? Because to know something is to do it. Not to know of it, but to know it and do it. And so the woman listened to the serpent and picked the fruit and ate it and gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate it. And then we go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And here it is right here where God declares war. He declares war against the kingdom of the dragon. Genesis 3:15. I will make you enemies of each other, you and the woman, your offspring and her offspring. It, her offspring, will crush your head, and you will strike its heel. The offspring of God are living, not necessarily alive. Those who are alive because their physiological properties of their flesh and blood bodies are operating and keeping them alive. It is your soul that determines whether you are living or dead. A dead soul can be alive, but not living. So there is a difference, and it's important to know that difference. The offspring of the serpent are dead. Even though they are alive, they are not living. They are dead because their soul is full of death. It is full of lies. The offspring of the woman, that is the woman of Revelation 12, not Eve. The offspring of the woman, here is not talking about Eve. It's talking about the woman of Revelation 12, which is the Holy Spirit. The offspring of the woman are holy people. The offspring of the devil are wicked people. In John chapter 8, I know we're about out of time. John chapter 8, when he's discussing, having a discussion with the Pharisees and the priests in front of the people. John chapter 8, starting with verse 42. We were not born of prostitution, they went on. We have one Father, God. Jesus answered, if God were your Father, you would love me, since I have come here from God. Yes, I have come from him. Not that I came because I chose. No, I was sent, and by him. Do you know why you cannot take in what I say? It is because you are unable to understand my language. The devil is your father. The devil is your father, and you prefer to do what your father wants. He was a murderer from the start. He was never grounded in the truth. There is no truth in him at all. When he lies, he is drawing on his own store because he is a liar and the father of lies. The father of lies. And therein is what this war is all about. The devil works diligently to fill the soul of men with lies. And God is working to fill the soul of men, and that's men and women, with truth. And to be born of the Spirit of God and enter the kingdom of God, you need to complete the process of sanctification, which is getting rid of all lies in your soul and replace them with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And you do that because you love God. And when you love God, you know what God's will is, and you obey his will. The devil, days are numbered. Tomorrow we will talk more about this. His days are numbered, and he knows it. And he's working desperately to get control of this world, but he knows that he has lost. The truth of God is more powerful than the lies of the devil. Elijah is here. His fellow servants are here. These are the days of Elijah. And we will join each other tomorrow.